The reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, and it's the whole chapter. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be an offering to sin. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. For those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, and the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead would also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in the glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected by frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what is already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. I, who have been called according by his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Total barrier cream. Total barrier cream, anybody's? Interesting. Okay, let's pray. Lord, may there not be a barrier from us for you to speak to us. On this Pentecost Sunday, may we be open to your spirit, open to your love, open to your word that changes us and transforms us and makes us to be more like Jesus. Amen. Okay, Pentecost Sunday. Be the best person you can be. Be the best church you can be. And people will sit up and take notice, and God will be given all the glory. Be the best person, be the best church. People will see and wonder, and God will be given the glory. But the question is, how do we be or become the best people we can be and the best church we can be? Well, of course, the Lord knew what we needed. We need the Spirit of God. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot just have strategies, plans, meetings, vision statements. We can do none of this ourselves. On our own. We need the Spirit of God. Do you remember that bit after Jesus has been risen and the disciples go out fishing, the end of John 21, and they try to fish and they're not doing very well at all until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes. And then it all changes. And what happens? They get this abundant amount of fish, which, by the way, is a picture of what the Lord promises to all of his people, abundance of life. But it didn't happen until Jesus came. We need the Spirit of God to be the best person we want to be the best church we want to be, to get people to sit up and see what we're doing and to give God the glory. Point number one, we need the Spirit. I mean, you know that, don't you? We know that. But we do need the Spirit. So we need to take regular drinks of the water of life. We need to take great big mouthfuls. So my question is, in what areas do we feel dry? Then we drink and are refreshed. In what areas do we feel tired? Then we drink and we are strengthened. In what areas are we getting nowhere, that we feel we're not getting anywhere because we're doing everything in our own strength? Let's be real about this. Let's be honest about it. Let's confess it. Then drink and be surprised at what we can achieve, what we can become as we drink deeply of the Spirit of God. John 7 records these words. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. One of the things you would have seen if you'd have been at that festival, or if you've been to it present day, because they still celebrate it, I believe, you would have seen large jars filled with water. Large, huge jars filled with water. And so what Jesus is saying is, forget those jars. I am the water of life you need. Drink deeply of me, and out of you will come rivers of life. Not only will you receive me into your heart and life, but out of you will flow the Spirit of life. And we need to keep drinking. We need to keep drinking, keep taking gulps. You know, maybe you've been baptized in the Spirit of God. Maybe you can remember the day, the date. I don't know. And that's great, but we must keep drinking to be the best we can be, to be the best church we can be, to give glory to God and to attract people to the love of God. So can you say this prayer with me? I'm going to say this prayer. Okay, I haven't finished the sermon, okay? Just in case you're wondering. That's really quick. I'm just going to say this prayer. And if you want to say amen to this prayer, say it, because it's really, really powerful prayer. Really powerful. Lord Jesus, I gladly accept your generous invitation to come and drink of your living water. Where there are areas in my life that feel dry, I ask you to refresh and restore me. Where I feel weary or overwhelmed, I remember that you have freely promised me an abundance of care through your Spirit. Where I am trying to do good in my own strength, I turn now to you and ask for a fresh filling of your vision, your compassion, your power, your Spirit. If we say that prayer, if we mean it, the Lord by His Spirit comes to us. Therefore, enabled to be the best we can be, to give glory to God. We need the Spirit. But number two, and I'm going to look at this in a little bit more depth, the Spirit needs us. The Spirit needs us. Another way of interpreting be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 is be continually available to the Spirit of God. Be continually open to His guidance, His presence, His power. To be available for what, though? I'll tell you what it's for. To be available to enjoy the Spirit of Jesus. To enjoy the Spirit of Jesus. Think about it. Number one, the Spirit represents Jesus. The Spirit speaks Jesus' words. The Spirit characterizes Jesus' ministry. Jesus was the most attractive person, let me say this, in the whole world. People were drawn to him. They wanted to party with him. They wanted to converse with him. They wanted to follow him. They wanted to enjoy him. And the Spirit has been given so that we can enjoy the Spirit in exactly the same way. We need the Spirit, but he needs us to enjoy him. To enjoy what? Number one, to enjoy the holiness of the Spirit of God. The holiness of the Spirit of God. The world today will sit up and wonder about the church when the church realizes that we are meant to be a holy, distinctive, different body of people. We're meant to enjoy the holiness of the Spirit of God. It is not beyond us. Do you know that? Holiness is not beyond any Christian. Do you know that? For a start, we are declared to be holy without doing anything. Did you know that? Through Jesus Christ, we are declared holy, sanctified, set apart. But in the passage from Romans 8, which is a I could spend years on Romans 8, but I'm not going now. Fortunately for you, I'm not. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. None at all. For we, through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death has no power over us. We do not have to be dominated by sin and death. We do not have to be tempted by the lures of temptation that the world is full of, that says, you need me. You need me. You need to taste me. Look and see. You need me. Genesis 3, that's why the Adam and Eve fell, because they looked and they kept looking and they ate and then they fell. We don't have to do that because the Spirit of God is in us. To enjoy the holiness of God. In my A-level exams, right, many, many years ago, okay, I just passed maths with an E. Okay? I just passed French with an E. Geography O-level, not many people know this, okay, so you're being very privileged, you know. This is something you might want to share with your grandchildren if you've got grandchildren, you know, later on or whatever. Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is amazing news, this is, honestly, really exciting. You know, be on the edge of your seats. For geography O-level, I got unclassified. Yes! I really failed. I didn't even get a mark. It was so bad. But this doesn't have to be the case in the school of holiness. We can attain, or at least journey on getting there in this life, because the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God, is within us. According to Paul, we live in the realm of the Spirit. According to Paul, we reside in the presence of the Spirit. According to Paul, we are enabled to be sensitive to the Spirit's guidance. As Christians, the Spirit does speak to us, and he says to us, he warns us, and he guides and directs us. He discourages and encourages us. We are sensitive to the Spirit's guidance, and we have the ability to say yes to the Spirit and no to the Satan. We do! Some of you will know, I've just taken part in a musical, well known by most people, not, called The Man of La Mancha. Anybody heard of that? Yeah, people of a certain age, you might have heard of it. Like Richard, bless him, at the back, he put his hand up because he's that kind of age. The song from it, the song that everybody knows, to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go. to dream the impossible. Holiness, okay, in this life, we will not attain perfect holiness, perfect purity, but we can begin to attain it. We can grow in being better than we are now. This church can be a better church because the Spirit is in us. He resides in us. So that we can dream. You know, the world needs to see Jesus, and the only image the world will see is us. Us. And the world will see us. The more we fill ourselves up with the Spirit of God, the more we are available to the Spirit of God. That we can enjoy Him. And enjoy. Holiness is not boring. It is not boring. Sin is boring. Sin is so boring. Oh, it's so boring because we always know where sin's going to lead us. Sin always goes one way, down. It's always done one thing, it hurts. And it always says one thing, you're guilty. But through the Spirit, we're free of all that nonsense, all those lies. Someone has said this, it's a lie that God is a hard taskmaster and the devil is an easy one. Believe me, it's the other way round. The Spirit of Jesus gives life and the capability to live a holy life, to enjoy a holy life through the Spirit of God. Yeah, number two, we can enjoy the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. I think some of us need to hear that. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Some of you are living in fear. And I don't know why you're living in fear, but some of you are living in fear. You do not have to live in fear. You do not have to live daily with apprehension and uncertainty about the future, about your place with God. If you are Jesus's, you are Jesus's. Okay, if you've mucked up, that's fine. You confess your sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. But then Paul goes on to say, rather the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Before you're a husband, before you're a wife, before you're a minister, before you're a minor, before you're a teacher, before you're whatever, before you're single, before anything, the most important thing we are as Christians is we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the King. And we should enjoy that. I love seeing my two granddaughters, Eden and Maddie. Bit of news, Maddie was turned 3 on Friday. She had a great big smile on her face because she understood what was going on and she knew that those cards were for her. And that cake was for her. And she had a great big smile on her face. But I love seeing them because they remind me of what it means to be a child. Oh, how disastrous and a tragedy is when we forget what it is to be a child. Their carefreeness, their simple enjoyment of little things, like seeing a ladybird, a little tiny ladybird on a leaf. And Eden goes, look, mommy, that ladybird. Their ability to play with just an ordinary cardboard box. Just an, you know, they don't need all that. you know, Amazon nonsense. You know, they don't need all that. Just their ability, you know, their curiosity, their inquisitiveness, their trust, their trust. And their honesty when things go wrong and they don't like what's going on, they just say it. They just say it. Through the Spirit, we can enjoy being children of God. And by the way, we can say it as it is. We can say to the Lord, I hate this. It's okay. You know, it's fine to be, you know, it's fine to be angry as a Christian. You do know that, don't you? It does not say in the Scriptures, you must not be angry. It does not say that. It says be slow to anger, but it doesn't say don't be angry. Because I'll tell you why, if we're not angry, you know what happens? And I know this. It builds up in here. Or it builds up in there and we get massive headaches and we get massive gut issues. That's true. That's a scientific fact. It's okay to be angry. Yeah. Let's enjoy being children of God because the Spirit witnesses to our spirits that that's who we are. Through Jesus, and only through Jesus, we have been adopted into God's family. So let's enjoy it. And not only that, we are heirs with Jesus of everything that's coming up in heaven. Yeah. Well, by the way, I'm going to share a picture of heaven with you, right? Who would have thought, right? Sunflowers. Who likes sunflowers? Beautiful, aren't they? Aren't they wonderful? Where do they come from? They come from a very, very tiny, tiny, tiny seed, right? Now, if you've never seen a sunflower before, right, and all you'd ever seen was this seed, right, and you're thinking, what is that seed going to become, right? I bet you any money you would not be able to imagine what that seed's going to become. Would you? Would you? No? No. Now imagine, in heaven, right, we're going to have new bodies. This body's going to die. It's going to go like a seed into the ground. Can you imagine what we're going to become? Can you? No. Can you imagine what this world is going to become? No. But it's going to be like that sunflower. That sunflower where we go, whoa. And we can enjoy some of that now. Through the Spirit. Truly I tell you, Jesus said, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. We're children through the Spirit, and we are heirs with Christ of everything. We've got so much to look forward to, brothers and sisters. Don't get so bogged down in Cosham that you want to kind of, you know, settle down in Cosham. Don't settle down anywhere, because we're on our way somewhere much better than this. I mean, me and Leslie live in posh Emsworth, okay, don't we? But we can't settle in posh Emsworth, because it's not our home. It's not our home. Okay, let's move on. Number three. Let's enjoy the helpfulness of the Spirit. You see how the Spirit is really important to us? The Holy Spirit is so important to us, right? Enjoy the help. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Before I go into what I'm going to say here, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. If you're feeling weak right now, if you're feeling inadequate right now, if you're feeling you don't know what's happening, where to go, what to do, you, with me, are in a very good place. If you think you know what you're doing and you think you've got it all sussed out and you've got it all mapped out, be careful. But if you're feeling weak, The Spirit helps you in your weakness. He will help you. He will guide you. He will. And I'm saying this as somebody, we still haven't moved yet. But we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Right, everybody, who finds it easy to pray? Put your hands up. Who finds it easy? Come on, be honest. Well done. Yes. Good for you. Right. Most of us, right? Isn't it hard? Isn't it hard to pray? Yeah? Was it just me? I mean, Mo and I have been praying, as you know, I'll repeat myself, 3 years now for the flat to be sold and for us to buy a house. 3 years. You know what's happened over those 3 years? We haven't got a clue what to pray. We've given up being specific, saying, Lord, we need this, we need this, we need this. Is that okay? Nothing. Words have failed us. Yeah, we're lost. And when we do pray, our words just seem feeble and ineffective. But that's okay. Because the Spirit takes our words and interprets them and translates them and takes them to our Heavenly Father. And if I might say it, the Spirit says to the Father, this is what they mean. They're not quite sure what they're saying, but this is what they mean. If I can be so crude. Just a few points on this. Weakness isn't a surprise to God. If you're feeling weak, it's not a surprise to him. After all, we are human beings, and by our nature, we are weak. Yeah. We're frail, we have limitations, and sometimes we don't know what to pray. Number two, to help by the Spirit here means literally to take hold of, together with, or to carry a load for someone else. So when we're praying and we don't know what to pray, the Spirit comes, takes our load, takes the weight of the burden we're carrying so that we don't have to carry it anymore. We can leave it with the Spirit. Number three, when the Spirit intercedes for us, it literally means he falls in on behalf of us. He does a rescue operation and bridges the gap between our helplessness and God's perfect will. Something is going on when we don't know what to pray. As I look around this building, I know that some of you got key issues. Don't worry about what to pray. The Lord knows your heart, and the Spirit takes what you're groaning about, and he takes your thoughts, your feelings, your worries to the throne of God. And number four, the Spirit groans. And that's the idea of him, I've said this already, translating our deepest desires and most inexpressible deeds, translating those things into divine language that perfectly aligns with the will of God. What I'm saying here is that the Holy Spirit is the expert interpreter, expert translator of our imperfect utterances. And that's very freeing. It should be very freeing. Because like you, I don't know what to pray. But that's okay. And then fourthly and finally, let's enjoy through the Spirit the hopefulness that the Spirit brings. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You will know as well as I, millions of believers around the world suffer on a daily basis. You will know as well, thousands and thousands of acres of our world are groaning under the weight of catastrophic climate change. Yeah? But into that context, Scripture declares through Paul, hope for a better day, a better world, indeed a renewed and restored paradise, and a hope that has its roots in the presence of the Spirit. How can we hope? How can we be hopeful? Because the Spirit of hope is in us. And according to earlier on in Romans, Paul declares that hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We've been saved in hope. We've been filled with hope through the Spirit. And this hope as an end, a fulfillment where all the hard work, all the struggles, all the pain, all the tensions, all those questions will in the end be worthwhile. And at the end, we will not be disappointed because that's what the Spirit promises us. So, yeah, that's it. Be filled. We need the Spirit. And the Spirit needs us. You know, a few weeks ago, we were all being advised to be careful about our fuel consumption due to the crisis in the Middle East. Right now, not so necessary. But there has never been a shortage of a slightly different kind of fuel. There has never been a shortage of the presence and power of the Spirit. So my encouragement to all of us is, let's fill up. Let's drink deep. Let's ask constantly, daily, regularly, and enjoy the Spirit's presence and the Spirit's power to be enabled to live holy life, to be enabled to be the best person you can be, the best church you can be, to draw people to Jesus and to give glory to God. Because in the end, that's what this is all about, to give glory to Him. Amen.